You are listening to Read It, Roll It, Hole It.
He's two punts from victory.
Only needs one.
Welcome, golfers, to the Elite Putting Hub podcast called Read It, Roll It, Hole It. Today, we're very fortunate to have special guest on the show, Annabelle Dimmock. She is a top athlete and one of the best talented golfers we've got in England. And she's going to share with us today her story of her life and what she's learned on tour over the few years. So hopefully you enjoy. If you're out there playing golf, golfers, just stay safe and read it, roll it, hole it. Okay, we'd like to welcome Annabelle Dimmock to the show today. Thank you for joining, Annabelle.
No worries at all.
Very kind of you to join. And yeah, we've just been talking before we started. You've got out onto the golf course.
Yeah, I've already had 3 rounds in 2 days. So I'm definitely making the most of being able to get out on the course again, which is a bit of a relief.
Brilliant, great. Where did you play?
So I played 36 holes on Wentworth, both on the East course, which is a bit weird, but it's my favourite course and I've really missed it. I literally used to play it every single day when I'd practice. And yeah, it's one of my favourite courses for, I don't know, for like working on your game, like is beautiful to look at. And also it's slightly more forgiving than the West and the Edinburgh, I think. So I've played there first. And then yesterday I played at a little hidden gem, really. It used to be called Sunningdale Ladies, but it's called Sunningdale Heath now. And it's like the mini Sunningdale, like just literally next door to Sunningdale. And it is stunning. One of the toughest, like it's the weirdest thing. It's one of the shortest courses, because mostly par threes. But it's three of the par threes over 200 yards. Like it's tough. I think it's a 250-yard par three. Like I'm playing there again this afternoon because I just loved it yesterday. So
how was your game?
Well, I've been hitting a lot of balls in the net. So it didn't feel like, sometimes when you have time off and I've come back before, your arms and body feels like jelly. It didn't feel like that to me. It was just when I was hitting a few shots, you know, when you're looking at the flight and you're like, oh, I didn't think it'd do that. Because normally, like when you're playing a lot, when I'm playing a lot, I can hit a ball and before I looked up, I kind of know what it's doing and where it's going, like pretty accurately. But when I stood up on Wednesday, I was a bit like, I hit a few shots that felt horrible and went straight. And then I'd hit one that felt good. I was like, you know, when you rip one, you're like, oh yeah. And you look up and it's going straight left and you're like, okay. So there was a few like that, but yesterday it's starting to come back.
Excellent. I suppose the touch around the green's difficult, isn't it? For like,
no, it's funny because the Huxley, I'm staying at a good friend's house, and the Huxley that they've got here is like really firm and quick. On Wednesday when I first came out, I was like playing every single shot like that high lob spinny shot, and it was just coming up so short, and I was like, yeah, they're not quite as quick yet.
That's good. It's good to adjust, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. It's
good to be back.
Go from quick greens to slow greens. It is really good for your game to get that sort of where you need to adjust quickly, because when you're playing on the road, some courses that you go to, you're playing a links and then 1 minute you're playing sort of something completely different. So you do need to be able to adjust quickly and not just be so set on sort of quick greens or firm or slow. Sometimes you turn up and they're like really soft. You got to bring yourself to like pitch it far enough to get it to the hole.
The environment's always changing, and that's
exactly that's the thing. In golf, it's not like other sports like tennis or football where the pitch is the exact same every week you're turning up. Even day to day on the same course, it can be different. Do you know what I mean? So that's the good thing about golf, is it's very, I don't know what word I'm trying to use, but it's never twice the same, is it?
No, definitely not. It's a ever changing environment.
Why, it's one of the toughest games, I guess.
It is. That's why we love it. Okay, Annabelle, let's start off with a little bit about your career. So you've been on tour for, is it 5-6 years now?
5 years. This would have been my fifth, yeah. Not saying it would have been. It is my fifth, but obviously not that many tournaments so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any news on when you could be back, or you're not sure yet?
They bring sort of schedules out that we're looking at, and like the schedule now, but you know, it might change week to week, so it's not really, you're not really planning, because you can't yet, because I seem to think maybe some of them might, so do you know what I mean? It's just, it's too hard. I'm trying not to actually look at the schedule too much, And just sort of mentally getting my head round and preparing what I think is going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And things like that. So I don't want to get set up and be like, this date we're starting, and then it kind of annoy me and upset me and demotivate me. So I'm just trying to not stick to that and be like, when I'm told to play, I'll play. So I'm ready the whole time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great attitude to have as well, because as you said, like, if you know, if it does change, which it's likely to, you're ready to sort of adapt.
I'm ready to go like at any point. I'm trying to stay as sharp as possible, if you know what I mean, and try to almost, I know it's impossible and it's not going to happen, but almost think next week I'm playing. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're practicing, instead of thinking, I don't know when I'm going to play, could be a month, could be 2 months, could be not this year, like, do you know what I mean? So you have to, for me, when I practice, competing is a massive motivation. Like if I didn't compete, I struggle to know how I'd get up every morning, because do you know what I mean? It's like, if I didn't compete, what am I just practicing to practice? That's why when I see a lot of amateurs not playing loads and just practicing loads, I honestly struggle to myself and think they can't get the most out of their practice sessions, because how are they mentally motivated? Do you know what I mean? If you know you're going out to play tomorrow in a club match, or and the day before you go to practice, you know you're going to work hard that, because you don't want to embarrass yourself, or you want to play well the next day. So that's pretty important to me.
No, that's good. You know, what's wonderful to hear by what you're saying is, like, obviously we're back out of lockdown, you're out there playing, you obviously still love, just like, you just love golf. Like, that's class. Class. That's the attitude you want to take out.
A lot of people don't love their job. Yeah, a lot of people don't love their jobs, and that's why hopefully I'll get to where I want to get with it, because I generally do love golf. If I wasn't a professional golfer, I would still play golf. Do you know what I mean? Which is a bit weird for a girl.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I love that
we're both very fortunate.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Very fortunate.
We've got different jobs, but we're both fortunate to do a job that we absolutely love.
Yeah,
we get up and just buzzing, so happy days.
Yeah,
that's cool. So tell me about your first win this time last year.
Yeah, that's weird to go back to then. Obviously, it's almost to this date last year. That was like such a good feeling, because I worked so hard for months, and I remember talking to my dad, and it was like, I was putting hours in, like grinding. I was doing swing changes with my coach. I had a newish coach. And a relief to actually win and it be like worth all your time. Do you know what I mean? Because when you are practicing, you're putting loads of hours in. And I remember the week before I missed the cut because I was not hitting it well. And I was like calling my dad, like, crying my eyes out, being like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I'm working hard. I'm trying to work on the right things. And I was working on the right things because my coach is obviously knows his stuff and that. But it's just so frustrating. You're always guessing it when you're not playing well. And then for the next week to come out with a fresh mind, and I was actually just quite proud of myself. Like, it was a weird feeling. I've never felt proud before. When, you know, when your parents say to you, oh, proud of you, you're a bit like, okay, what does that mean? But when you're like proud of yourself, like it's a different feeling. And it was just like the hard graft that I put in had paid off.
As you said, like, it's such a funny up and down game, isn't it? Like, you miss the cut 1 week, you're crying your eyes out. The next week, hallelujah, you've won for the first time. Golf, you know, so you played golf for 4 years and you didn't win. Like, that's so crazy, isn't it, to think of other top athletes, like tennis or football. Like, nobody goes through.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 99% of the time, golfers are disappointed. Like, because we play, it's such a tough game in aspects of there's 150 people in a field. And, you know, you might have the week of your life, but someone just get lucky or hold so many putts, just have a freak week and you don't win. Like, and you've done so well. It's just, it's weird golf, but it's great. But that's the thing as well. When I did win, it motivated me so much more than to keep working hard. Because I was like, no, like, it might not feel it now, but it does pay off. Like, when you get that reward, you get that little nugget kind of sort of dangling in front of you, you're like, want the next one and the next one. So that's quite a cool feeling. It's just frustrating, obviously, with what's going on right now, that you know, this would be my time where I was sort of going in with a bit of confidence.
Okay, Annabelle, that's great. So let's hear about your putting. So I'm a putting coach. This podcast is all about putting. So I want to hear, first thing, what's your what's the magic wand? What club do you use?
So at the minute, it's a funny one. I just put a Spider back in my bag. I've putted forever since I was an amateur with the Spiders. But I've got a few arm lock Spiders made up, which I'm loving the arm lock at the minute. And I'm sure I will be for a while because it's almost like I found something that really suits me. And it feels comfortable, which, as you would know, is the most important thing I think about putting, is feeling comfortable in the player.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm putting with the Spider. I put that back in the bag. And yeah, I have quite a sort of simple way of thinking about putting. I don't like massively going into technical stuff. I have in the past, but at the minute, what's helping me best is keeping it simple. I have my arm lock putter. I know my setup, how I set the ball up, and I just make sure that's the same every time. And just keep the bloody putter on my arm, and then sort of the stroke sort of is okay. And I'm trying to keep it simple, because I found out that's sort of how I work best with it.
Fantastic. That's cool. What so is it quite long, the putter?
Yeah, so it goes all the way up until sort of the crease on the inside of my elbow.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And I think I've got 7 degrees of loft on it, which is quite a lot. So
it is.
Yeah.
But it needs to be if your hands are that far, arm locking up that left arm.
I've got a massive forward lean. And as you know, you need the ball rolling. Sort of, I don't want to be hitting it into the ground and it hopping up. It needs to be rolling pure. That's a massive thing about putting. As long as you're rolling it right, isn't it? The putt can start online and roll end over end.
Yeah, 100%. It's a big start to get it rolling straight. So that's fab. And I like what you've said, that it's like, you know, you're trying to sort of free up a little bit and have sort of lots of flow to your stroke, not get too bogged down. I think a lot of golfers do try and think too much about technique, and
100%.
You know, a lot of the time my job as a putting coach is decluttering people, get rid of 100%. The crap rather than adding it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've done a fab job of that recently.
I just think what's important is for a player, whatever standard, to know the fundamentals of putting, like the setup, to make sure that their setup's good. And then whatever their natural stroke or whatever they want to do from there will always be sort of okay, as long as they get the fundamental setup right.
That's a great tip for the listeners there. So thank you. So you mentioned, like, now you're trying to free up. Did you get too technical? Who's your coach now? And like, are you with a coach now, putting, or are you just doing it yourself? Or
a good friend of mine, when I went through the scholarship program at Wentworth, he coached me, and we work really well putting, and we work a lot on routines. And he's more of like a performance coach, but he obviously helps me with my putting as well. But it's more, he knows what I want to see, so he makes sure that it looks like that, if you know what I mean. So he's like another set of eyes on me. And but I did see a few coaches that were quite technical. I'm not sure if I should be naming names, but that they're quite technical.
We don't need to name names, that's fine.
No. Love them all, really. For me, in my head, I just don't work well with technical stuff. In my main swing, I'm the same. And do you know what it was? It got to the point where I was standing over the ball too long on a putt, like trying to pull the trigger sort of thing. And that was like horrendous. I try to almost be looking at the hole, and on my last look, almost be pulling the trigger straight away. I'm still nowhere near that. I'm still like sort of stand over it for a split second long, but it's getting better. And when I thought about a lot of technical stuff and it was probably confusing me a little bit, it just slowed my routine down, which isn't great anyway. And it took out the feel of my putting, which I think is great for pace, for anything, reading putts. The thing is you can have the perfect stroke, great, but people don't realize that they need to work on the other stuff, like reading greens. They need to work on pace. Like, there's loads of different things that they need to do as well as have a perfect stroke.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. You know, I think there's three skills of putting: starting the ball on line, which is your technique.
Yeah.
And then hitting it at the right distance and and reading the greens. So
yeah,
it sounds like you're doing a great job there with your man. And
with James, that's more, we work with on James. A lot of pace and stuff like that, and sort of pulling the trigger quicker. It's not just the stroke, we work about everything.
So was your routine getting too long and now you're sort of trying to speed it up almost?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
I was having too much time to think about my stroke on the course because there were so many different, I was thinking about sort of four different things in my putting stroke, and that's ridiculous for me.
Yeah, no, it's not good. You need to set up over that ball and have some freedom, some flow, and just
don't
be
get
almost
me wrong. I like having one swing thought in putting and in the swing. That's fine. One swing thought, I actually find that helps me. And just one simple thing, whether it's something ridiculous like sort of left wrist to target or something, whatever, everyone's different. Or keep your head down for that split more second or little things like that. I love, I wouldn't be able to pull it back without having one thing like that. But when it's actual technique on the course, it's not good for me.
That's cool. What's your one swing thought at the moment, Patton?
At the moment, why I just said the last one yesterday when I played, I was hitting putts, and because I was so eager to know if I'd hold it or not, I kept looking up and I was like blocking and pulling them a tiny bit, whatever way the face sort of went. So I was trying to then sort of keep my body down and my head down still for much longer so I can sort of finish the stroke off.
It's letting it go, isn't it? Sometimes we're sort of control freaks and we try and steer it. Like you'd throw a ball to someone, you'd just throw it, just let it go and what will be.
Yeah, you wouldn't think how far you take your arm back or anything, would you?
Not if you want to do a good throw, no, definitely not. Happy days. That's a good insight. I like that. Well, one thing I was going to say that could be linked, but was how do you deal with nerves or like that voice in our head? So when we stand over the putt, and I'm sure you've had it and a lot of golfers listening will have it, that we have that oh sugar moment at impact, like that voice telling us you're going to miss or whatever it is. How do you deal shutting him up?
Do you know what? I never even realised that was a thing until I turned pro. Until I turned pro, and I remember, I think it wasn't my first year, I think it might have been my second year, I was struggling holing out. And no one wants to say the word, do they? But I was really struggling. And that was when, at that point, I then went to thinking about five different things in my stroke. And it was a vicious circle. It got worse and worse. Because then I was thinking, okay, there must be something wrong with my stroke. But do you know what it was? I changed what I did in my practice. So in my practice, I would do stroke and drill work, but I would make sure I was doing skill tests every day with my putting, loads of different competition, like trying to put pressure on my practice. And in the end, I just got better with dealing with pressure on putting. And do you know what it is? Like sometimes I'll do, so say we're teeing off on Thursday and I've got the first putt at the British Open. We'll aim high, hey? At the British Open. Absolutely. And on the Wednesday, I would have done a holing out drill that I would have felt nervous with my caddy, because it would have been, you're not leaving here until you do this. So what I'll do is on the first green on the Thursday, I'll be like, right, remember what you were like. And you'll go back to mentally in your head what you did on the putting green, and you think, yeah, well, I needed to hold that. So this is no different, and try and almost trick your body a bit, trick your mind.
It's a great
Everyone's got to understand that everyone's nervous. Like Tiger Woods will have a putt and he's nervous. Just because you're nervous, like, just doesn't mean no one else is. Do you know what I mean? It's just how dealing with it, I guess. And no one's cracked it, have they? It's one of them things that you have to keep working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're nervous, that's good because it means you care. Like if there's no nerves, I think you just, like, it doesn't really matter. So
exactly.
Yes, that's cool. I like that way of distracting your mind. It's actually playing tricks on your mind.
Uh-huh. Clever. That's exactly it.
You're smart. I like it.
No, do you know what? I'm really not. Like, I'm really not smart. But I've just found a way. I've got, do you know what it is? I think when you're out there for hours, you will start to work things out, and that's the thing. But yeah,
you find the best way for you. That's why you're smart.
Me, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears when I wasn't working it out. There was a lot of that. So anyone that's going through that at the minute, trust me, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, thank you. That is so true, isn't it? I think, you know, your putting gets worse. You try harder. You try harder. You try another coach. You try another, yeah, that circle, and you get away from. It's interesting you're saying, like, you probably putted your best when you were an amateur. Because you were carefree. You didn't think about it. You didn't have a putting lesson. You just adapted to the environment.
It's funny you say that, because I remember when I was struggling and my dad turned to me and he was like trying to find sort of memories for me when I was putting, when I was really young. And he was trying to imitate me. He was showing me that I would just walk up to a putt and do this. And that was the mindset that I was trying to get into. I know I'm still not that old and fogey, but it does, you do change. Like, I needed to putt when I started, when I was like 10 years old. Granted, my stroke was horrendous probably, but it's that freeness that you don't care.
Carefree, isn't it?
Even though you do, but you have, like say a minute ago, you've got to trick your mind.
It's like the, it's like an attitude, isn't it? Like, kids 100%. Have this sort of attitude that, like, I don't care. They don't think about missing it. They just look at the hole and like go hole it. So
no consequences.
What's the funniest thing that's happened to you on tour in the last 5 years?
Oh, my God. I mean, if anyone knows my roommate, Gabriella Cowley, there's been a lot of stories.
Just, she, you know, she come on. She's a nice girl. She come on to our, spoke to our juniors, as did you.
Oh, and brilliant, did she?
Yeah, she's got good banter, isn't she?
She's funny, isn't she? She's really
funny. She is
funny. God, yeah. We have a lot of stories, but I'm trying to think of one. Well, so when we go and play in Australia, the first few years we were on tour, because we're rookies and that, the tournament sort of hosts, find host housing for us. Anyway,
okay.
Me and Gabs always shared since day one on tour, share every week. So the woman that we were staying with went out for the evening, and we went down the shop and got ourselves a pizza each. To sort of cook in the oven. We thought we're both not the best of cooks, but can't really be bothered, can you? So you just put an oven a pizza in the oven. Anyway, so we forgot about it until the smoke alarm was going off, the flames are in the oven. So we were obviously trying to get these pizzas out, and the house is so smoky, it's ridiculous. Anyway, we knew the woman was coming back in the next hour or so, and we needed to sort the place out, but we could not turn this smoke alarm off. So we had to get this guy, this random guy in the street who was walking past. We got him in the house to try and help us sort of sort the smoke alarm out, because we had no idea what to do. And he did, bless him. He came in, and for 10 minutes he was sorting this out and then sort of left. And we were like, oh, thank you. Like, do you want a slice of pizza? No, it's all burned. But it was just like things like that with me and Gabs always happen. I think I'm pretty sure that was the same day that our host family let us take the bikes out. Anyway, Gabs slipped off and literally her whole knee was like a massive scab. It was horrendous. So that day was interesting, but there's many more like that. I won't bore you with many more, but yeah, there you go.
They sound good fun. I'm sure you've got plenty of time to to hang out. And
another, I bet, time. When
if anyone mentions pizza now, I bet you're both in stitches on the floor, right?
Literally, so many stories like that. It's great.
That's good. It must be so important, because you are, you know, in different hotels, different houses, different airport all the time, to have a good mate you can have a crack with, because I'm lonely out there, imagine.
You know what, like I said this, me and Gabs are very lucky that we have each other. It's almost like when you're away for 5 weeks and you're really starting to miss home, we lean on each other a lot, because we are like, when we're at home, Gabs will come and stay with me, I'll go stay with her, like we're best mates at home as well, do you know what I mean? So it's like nice. We have sort of our home on tour, which is nice.
That's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
What's it like if, like, say one of you's like playing well, getting top 10, the other one's missing cuts? Like, how does that, do you help each other out?
Yeah, we do. We massively do help each other out. But it's weird. It's like when we're both when one of us is playing well, we tend to both play well, and then one of us is struggling, we both tend to struggle, and we'll sort of help each other out. It's very strange like that, how it goes. But yeah, we do massively help. There's so many times we've been crying on each other's shoulders after sort of a three-putt on the last or whatever, do you know what I mean? So that's nice to have someone like that on tour, like your best mate.
That's good. One thing I was going to say is, like, you know, from speaking to you a couple of times and seeing you on social media, and you know, you seem to work extremely hard. Now, I know it's your job, and that could be the answer, that your job, you love your job, but I just see something in you that, like, this resilience, this motivation. I just want to know what really drives you to keep going, because you're still obviously very early on in your career, but I just see it, this focus in inner determination.
I think I've been brought up quite well in the fact that I was definitely not sort of mummy cuddled. I had a lot of tough love, which is exactly how I will bring my children up. I think my dad's a lot to thank for that, sort of when I was younger and practicing and stuff. If it was raining or whatever, there was no excuses, you know what I mean? It would be like, it's raining, Dad, I don't want to go out there. What do you mean? Like, and it's just, it's an attitude that you're brought up in, which I'm very thankful for. Both my parents, especially my dad, is very hardworking in anything he's ever done. My dad was not a golfer. He was nothing to do with golf, but it's just a life attitude, isn't it? Sort of, you get out what you put in. And I want a lot out, so I'm going to put a lot in.
You know, your dad's a big influence. Excellent. What advice would you give to sort of younger you, you know, at some stage? Not your biggest regret, maybe, but, you know, looking back at, you know, yourself now and your golfing career the last 10 years, what advice would you give to a 13-year-old? I think you're 23.
Do you know what? I struggled a lot. I was not academic and I didn't get on well at school. I left school quite young, and to everyone that was like the biggest mistake, such a taboo, which it is. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, because I've had to work hard in other ways to get things and stuff like that. But, you know, I got laughed at school when I was telling people I wanted to be a professional golfer. It was just, in the end, I would not tell anyone that I played golf and wanted to be a professional sports person, because you just can't be bothered with having to fight your corner. And I stuck through and I carried on playing when sort of all my friends were going out and things like that. But what I would say to people is, I made a lot of sacrifices, but I look back now and they were so worth it. So anyone that feels like they're making loads of sacrifices and it's not fair, they're not allowed to go out on the weekends, they're not allowed to do this because they've got an early tea time, or they need to work hard on this, trust me, them sort of things, little minor things that you missed out on, will be well worth it. Do you know what I mean? I've seen the world. There's so many things that I'm so lucky that's happened to me. Like the life I have, I'm very grateful. And this lockdown has taught me that, to be honest with you. I've seen so much of the world, and do you know what I mean? It comes at a price. Everything will come back around to you. So that's what I know. That's probably something that I would suggest to myself. So I remember when I was younger and sort of 12, 13, and you can't sleep over at your friend's house because you're sort of need a good night's sleep and stuff like that. I used to think that was so unfair. I was like, this is so unfair. Why can't I be normal? Do you know what I mean? But Now I look back on it and I am so glad that I did stuff like that, sacrificed things, because I wouldn't be where I am today without it.
That's it's great sort of insight there, isn't it? To, you know, the life of a top athlete, you know, it always looks like glam and rock and roll, doesn't it? But, you know, exactly. even getting there, you have to sacrifice a hell of a lot. And it sounds like you've done that, and I think that sort of made you very humble in your, you know, I'd say
humble. I respect anyone. I mean, if anyone's listening sort of in the next little while and hasn't seen the Michael Jordan documentary, have you seen it?
Yeah, I've watched some of it. I need to finish it.
You need to, honestly. It is the most amazing thing that I, like, for me, because it just, the attitude he has was just out of this world. Like, you're saying my attitude's good. My attitude is horrendous compared to his. Like, it's just a different level. Maybe a tiny bit too much, but no way he'd be where he was today. Sort of the best, the legend in the game. His attitude is unbelievable. That documentary was amazing.
I'll have to get on and finish.
Yeah, you have to have a look at that.
It was good. It was good. Brilliant. That's great. So let's say you're cooking tonight. What are you cooking? Drinking? Are you
I wouldn't put anyone through that. But if I was doing, actually, I made a good breakfast this morning. I'm gonna skip the dinner part because I find dinner's hard. But I'm great at making a good breakfast.
Ooh, so nice.
I smashed avocado on Rye Vita, and I breaded some chicken breasts with like a sort of whole grain and some different spices, and had that, and it was amazing. Bit of couscous, very sort of, don't know, what is it called? A Greek breakfast? No, what is it? Mediterranean, where it's kind of like a lot going on, a lot of colours. Love it.
I like it. So chicken and avocado for breakfast.
Chicken, avocado, Rye Vita. Oh, lovely.
Sounds good. I like it.
Am I making
and what
hungry?
Drink? Yeah, you are actually. Yeah. It's lunchtime.
Cappuccino.
Yeah. Like it. No, that's cool. So I really appreciate you coming on, Annabelle, and you know, that's been a great insight to your sort of your life and what makes you good. So that's been fantastic, and I wish you all the best for when we do get out there, or when you get back out there, whenever that might be. Enjoy Sunningdale.
Thank you. I will. Hopefully the sun stays out.
Excellent. And read it, roll it, hole it.